What's in the satchel?
It's full of money.
That'll be the day.
Where'd you get the pistol?
At the getting place.
Did you buy that gun?
No, I found it.
Willin.
What? Quit your hollering.
What'd you give for that thing?
You don't need to know everything, Carla Jean.
I need to know that.
Keep running that mouth of yours, I'm gonna take you in the back and screw you.
Big talk.
Keep it up.
Fine. I don't want to know. I don't even want to know where you've been all day.
That'll work.
Hi and welcome to Their Names and Podcast. This is Andrew.
She's going to ad-lib the discussion. And it's drunk bastard Douglas.
Yeah, this is Douglas.
This is Damien. Not drunk.
Not yet.
Not ever.
You'll be drunk on caffeine and sugar while we're drunk on...
I love how you like actually had like a an expression of disgust when you said that.
Tastes like shit.
We've been over this. Let's just move on.
No, I just don't understand. I don't, honestly.
Okay, we get it. You don't get it.
How do they make so much money? Cigarettes are addictive. Oh, beers are addictive. Never mind.
So, Damien.
There was some Czech cigarette company a couple of years back released a report that said people smoking and dying early is actually beneficial to the Czech government. And that is great.
Well, I mean, it means you don't have to pay any pensions.
I mean, no, actually, using numbers, actual figures, they worked out that it was cheaper. But what they didn't realize is that you can't put out that killing people is cheaper to them. As now, you can't do that. And so the people against smoking used it to... like absolutely destroy.
So, question I have for Damien.
Yes.
Is after you heard the released episode last week, how mm-hmm. quickly between pressing play mm-hmm. and when how short was the time between pressing play on the podcast and pressing play on the movie that the clip at the beginning of the podcast was?
Oh.
Because I know you had to do it.
Yeah. You should stop that.
Put in clips of awesome movies.
Of awesome movies at the start of the podcast.
I thought you'd appreciate that one. I really like that moment in that movie.
And Douglas has no...
It's very poignant.
Douglas has no clue what we're talking about.
No, of course I know. It's a heart-wrenching moment.
Yeah, a heart-wrenching. That's what it was.
For me, it was. My heart wrenches whenever I see that sort of thing, you know.
Fair enough. It had to do with horses.
Yeah. Exactly. You know.
Anything that has to do with horses has to be heart-wrenching.
Yes, of course.
What did you watch this?
Clint Eastwood shooting people.
Damn right.
Hitting his horse.
Actually, I was thinking... kind of cool if I make that into like a little game for
guess the
clip or something like that.
That's good.
I don't know what I'd really do with it right now.
What I didn't enjoy was you trying to explain girl who lived through time.
Oh my goodness.
Then I remember the movie that I hated, the boy in the prince pinstripe pajamas. I'm like, that's what Andrew needs to watch. A Disney movie with a fuck you ending. It's like, hey, you guys are...
It is your week next week. Maybe you could...
No, we've already decided.
We talked about them. We know what we're reviewing next week.
Damon, yes. What have you watched this week?
Alright. Started watching season 3 of Avatar, The Last Airbender. And it's good.
Did M. Night direct it?
I also finished watching Community, which had one of the best episodes of TV probably ever. That Modern Warfare episode.
Thank you for being late.
Something special. It's good stuff. Movies. I saw Black Lightning.
Was it good?
It's great.
Awesome. It's
Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, Russian.
It's Spider-Man 1. That is, I mean, it, the similarities
are... A black car that flies.
No. I mean, it's a... they call it the first story of trilogies. Setup movie. Because they're going to make more. And, like, down to things like his... Someone dies in his family and he could have stopped it.
Oh my goodness.
Right, and all the shit is being done over a girl.
You know what's funny though? Is that
a rich friend.
I've already read a couple of articles about them remaking it.
Right, it's really, it is really Spider-Man 1. Except he has a car. Old piece of shit car. But still a car. And the bad guy, he gets his hands on the technology, of course.
Of course.
And puts it in a Mercedes. And the Mercedes loses, which I do not agree. I do not accept that. I do not follow your logic. But it's really good. I need to watch more Russian movies because this movie looks like a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, I remember when I saw the trailer, I thought this thing looks fantastic. I
mean, the effects, everything is shot well. The music is good, and what a. What I kind of like and at the same time dislike is the love interest, because I know hot chicks come from Russia, but she is not one of them. And I'm, at the same time, I'm kind of glad that they didn't use some supermodel type as the girlfriend, but still they're in Russia. Could have found a supermodel type to put there. It's not like she's a fantastic actress, she's just there. To supposedly be hot. She isn't. That's my one big gripe. And the fact that it's basically Spider-Man 1. But it's enjoyable. I don't want them to remake it. I really don't.
But you said the foreign language.
No, I know.
You said the foreign
language. No, they're going to. Yeah. And so I accept that they're going to remake it. Because many people won't ever see this. Because it's in another language. But I don't want them to. Because... literally, it's Spider-Man 1. We've seen this movie already. What else did I say? I saw part of Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad
That's
by
enough.
Myself.
That's
no,
enough.
No. Look. Hold on. So I saw what is essentially the last 5 minutes of that movie.
Did they go to
and
church?
I can tell you, based on 5 minutes...
Either they go to church or to jail.
Horrific.
One of the two places.
So the man who was beating her or her children or whatever the man was that was beating whoever the chick was, he got his comeuppance, of course, because it's a Tyler Perry movie. Then someone professed his love for that chick and they got married. Mary J. Blige showed up to sing and the movie ended, which is exactly what a Tyler Perry movie is.
I love
and
that.
It's bad. That's 5 minutes.
Mary J. Blige showed up to sing. I like that.
The acting is bad. The performances are bad. Mary J. Blige shows up to sing, which is probably the only redeeming factor, but it's still bad because it's in a Tyler Perry movie. And after they're married, they walk onto a block party. No joke. They leave the church, walk into a block party.
Are you still talking about this movie?
It's terrible. But right after that, they put on Twilight. Whatever the hell the second name. New Moon.
That's the second one.
And in... 5 minutes, I saw Bella standing in a field, and then this dude, whatever the hell his name is, walks out into
slow
the sunlight and literally glistens. And I laughed and went to bed. I went, shit, they're not actually lying. Serious?
Are you really? Didn't believe us when you said that.
When you guys said when people come out and said vampires glitter in sunlight, I don't just accept that as face value. I just thought it was kind of a running joke, like some asshole said it and everyone's now using it to witness movie. I cannot actually believe that some director or some writer actually wrote this as part of the story. And when I saw him come out and started to sparkle, and I saw whatever her name is, vapid look. I'm like, fuck this movie. But I remember she was in Adventureland and some other movies. And I said, didn't I used to like Kristen Stewart at one point?
Because you're crazy.
Like, is it just Douglas negativity that is affecting my outlook on her?
I'm sure
and I said, you know what? I'm going to prove But I'm not biased. I'm going to watch The Runaways. That was a mistake. No one should have watched that movie. That movie's bad.
I watched The Runaways this week, and I actually didn't mind it. Like, no, Kristen Stewart is horrible.
Yes.
She's horrible. Like, I told myself walking in that this movie was going to be the movie that was going to tell me once and for all whether it's that Kristen Stewart is an angsty teen, mm-hmm. or she can, or the people write her as an angsty teen. And it's... Answered the question, she refuses to be anything other than an angsty teen.
She's both.
I did like Dakota Fanning in it a lot, and Michael Shannon was really cool.
Yeah, but and, like, my problem with both of them is at the very beginning, they're like, you know, every rock star movie, they start here and there, this is what they had to go through, and then they got big. Literally, Kirsten Stewart looked at the guy and he's like, and she's like, you all play guitar. And dude is like, alright, I'm just going to have all girls in this band, and you guys will be big. I'm like, really? That's it? There's no reason to watch any more of this.
But the truth of the matter is, that is the reason why they were big.
And that is depressing. And really stupid. I don't like any of their music, so that didn't help.
Some of their music is kind of good.
Again, I don't like any of their music, so that didn't help. Stewart's performance was, like, every time she appeared on screen, I just think, really? Plus, I still see Dakota Fanning as a child, even though she's naked for half of that movie.
What?
No,
sorry?
She isn't.
What?
Sorry.
Okay.
She's not.
So
she's clothed very scantily for the movie. She's never naked.
Douglas is not Google searching.
What? The Runaways.
This is a mistake.
Tonight.
Because she is still underage. I mean, I even remember seeing.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah, I remember because there's a huge
isn't she like
because there's a lesbian sex scene between Kirsten Stewart.
Oh wait. So she's doing it again. This is not the first time she got herself into trouble. You know.
I know.
She got raped once, and people were like, "Whoa, what are you doing to this young little girl?"
But yeah. She was talking about, Kristen Stewart was talking about how closely monitored the scene was when they were filming the whole lesbian sex scene with her and Dakota Fanning. Because, I mean, she's a child, you can't do anything.
That's true, they do that a lot, apparently. Like, I mean, I remember even, like in
the
story.
Watch the first 15 minutes of Mysterious Skin.
Okay,
and you'll know about well shot, underage sex scene.
Yeah, but you know what though, like, there's stories about, like, for example, the girl next door.
Even Cobra Commander, isn't it?
Like, Emil Hirsch was underage at the time, and apparently when he got the lap dance, he had to have, like, 5 or 6 layers of cushions above his pelvis so that, you know, there was no, you know...
Touching.
No touching, and no,
actually,
no possibilities of any sorts of baby juices falling out, you know?
Didn't want him to get excited.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I watched Meet Max based on Douglas.
This doesn't sound good. This doesn't sound good.
Douglas.
Requiem for a McMack. Is that what's happening here?
I know, it's really
Succession.
Odd. It's.
And it's really odd. We're moving on.
Okay.
I don't want to say anything bad about the movie, because I'm pretty sure this comes down to my personal taste.
I'm
just
sure.
Lumping this in with musicals, because there's nothing technically bad about it. I guess if you enjoy complete nonsense.
You see, that's the thing. This movie has a thread of what's really happening, which would, like, Ridley Scott would take that thread and make it into, like, a serious movie that you'd love. But what he does...
I understand.
Exactly. What he does is he's like, all right, I've got that in there, but, like, every 5 seconds, I'll just throw in something
ridiculous.
There's an
overarching story. But, takes a while to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you see it, it's fleeting. Oh, it's there, and then it is gone.
Yeah.
But it is pretty.
It's very pretty.
It's very pretty. You can't take that away from it. I saw... what's the name of the guy in Ryan Reynolds' movie that way?
Oh, Foolproof?
Yeah, Foolproof. I saw that. Ryan Reynolds is in it. I like it. It's not really that good, but I like it. And to get ready for Inception, I watch another Cillian Murphy movie, Pierce Bounty. And it's great.
I really want to watch that movie.
And it is great.
What's that movie?
Pierce Bounty?
I don't think I know that one.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, something's wrong.
I haven't watched it, but at least I know about it.
It's a British movie.
And have the DVD, and I'm very ready to watch it very soon.
And
Chicken.
It's really enjoyable. Cillian Murphy, for once, doesn't play a creep, which is impressive.
Hey.
But I know, I...
28 you guys days know, later.
He's not one of my favorite actors.
That dude is Scarecrow.
No.
Also, watch Sunshine again because I remember he was in it.
I love that movie.
But we don't need to talk about that movie.
Really?
You don't like Sunshine?
I didn't at the time.
Never mind. Continue off.
I really like that movie.
How can you not like what?
I didn't like it, but it was okay. It's not worth, or at least not from what I remember, it's not worth the praise that Andrew was giving it.
We can watch it when we're done recording.
And that's pretty much it. I watched some other TV shows, Moondocks, some other stuff.
Okay, so I guess that leaves me to talk about some stuff. I watched a few things this week, actually. I started to watch a movie that just came out on DVD, another French film, A Town Called Panic. And this is claymation, really crazy, really odd, really all over the place kind of movie. And I'm sure Andrew will tell you that it was kind of rubbish. But I really liked what I saw. I still haven't finished. I watched maybe the first half. But
I hate you, Douglas.
What?
You know why?
Why?
Because I thought of this wonderful build-up to talking about A Town Called Panic. I know that you've talked about the movie. I feel like I can't say the build-up anymore.
That's right. I stole it from you.
I feel
okay, so I watched A Town Called Panic.
Going to be brilliant.
It was a bunch of cowboys like in England, okay? Whatever.
Or is it Guinness?
That's Guinness. No,
it's
shut
Guinness.
Up.
Guinness.
Brilliant.
Okay, so I also started watching this show. Haven't quite caught up yet, but I've gone two episodes in, or three. Two or three. Called Memphis Beat. It's on TNT, I think. But it has Jason Lee. And I love Jason Lee from all sorts of things. All this Kevin Smith stuff. My Name is Earl was fantastic. And so I figured, it looks kind of crappy, but let me watch it anyway. And so far, it's still kind of not going anywhere, not that great. But it could be okay. I'm not sure.
Is it not going great? Like, My Name is Earl, kind of? Or
no, My Name is Earl was awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, because there's people who legitimately didn't like that. I don't know why. There's people that didn't like it but continue to watch because it's so
not that
stupid.
Great.
When it got cancelled, I'm like, yeah, I kind of understand, but still should not cancel.
I know, really.
Heroes was still on. Canceling other shit.
But yeah, Memphis Beat is it's a cop show. He's a cop, and
that's our promos for it.
Yeah, so you know,
I haven't heard anyone say anything about it.
It's all right so far. It's nothing. It's not horrible.
Right, what I've started doing is that any TV shows that's in their first season, as soon as they green light a second season, then I'll give it a chance, because clearly someone is watching.
Does that mean you're going to watch Glee?
No,
because they greened it two seasons.
No, I know, but I know I won't like Glee.
I'm just I think that I personally don't think that you'd love Glee, but I think that you'd be willing to sit through it just for Jane Lynch.
Nope.
Just for Jane Lynch
is awesome.
No, I know I like her in many, many things, but I'm still not watching Glee.
By the way, I'm looking at my list and I'm noticing that there's a common thread. Mm-hmm. All of these are TV shows, and all of these are somehow related to law enforcement. The next show that
I think you need to become a police officer.
Apparently.
No, it's because Law and Order made $1 trillion.
This is true.
I went on challenge for like 40 years, and everyone's like, What did they get right that we all police?
Right.
Look,
so
NYPD Blue stayed on TV for a billion years. The while. And
And what's the longest running TV show? Bonanza?
No.
Isn't that like just like police?
Law and Order.
Except in the West.
Bonanza is not the longest running TV show ever, is it? I don't think so. I'm sure Simpsons
is Days of Our Lives.
No, that's longer than that.
Days of Our
Lives. It's a TV show.
Sir, Days of Our Lives.
Exactly. Anyway, that's so another show that I started watching, and again, I'm two episodes in only because there are two episodes only, is Covert Affairs, the new USA show about the CIA.
You're not watching Burn Notice.
I know Doug Liman had something to do with it, which is really it was what pushed me over the edge in terms of actually watching an episode. And also another guy is in it by the name of Lester Freeman, so he is very good, and even though that's not his real name, that's how I know him as, you know, from The Wire. And so another
Idris Elba, by the way.
No, it's not. Idris Elba is Freeman. Bell.
Oh shit. I totally just tuned out and thought you were talking about
just like Morgan Freeman.
Anyway, there's Red Riding that I saw. Yeah, well, only the first episode, seeing as this is a TV show, but each episode is like an hour and a half. It's three movies, really.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
What show is this now?
Red Riding.
The Red Riding trilogy?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. With Andrew Garfield, I think, the new Spider-Man kid. And it's fairly good. I've been meaning to watch it for a long time, and I'm happy that I finally did get around to watching it, or at least the first part of it. The first third, exactly. It's really cool. I mean, it's not... This approaches it from a more journalistic side, because Andrew Garfield is a journalist, and he's the main character, and we more see things through his eyes and from his side, with all of his colleagues and things. But there are a couple of, you know, policemen involved because, of course, you know, he's investigating this murder and all sorts of things. So, yeah, all about the popo. And the show that Andrew ruined my build-up to.
Good.
Right? That I...
Glee?
My goodness. So, there's a rule, right?
Yes.
A rule about The Wire.
Yes.
That anything that they are in is rubbish, other than The Wire. Apparently.
Somehow it has happened.
Except Trim.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that.
Sorry, right, that does
I still have not been able to get past the first episode. I'm sorry.
Six. You're a crazy person, but never mind. What are we talking about?
So, we are talking about a TV show that was on BBC in May.
BBC doesn't show TV. What the hell is wrong?
Oh yeah.
It's just news.
I watched Top
Gun. This TV show is probably, I would say, the best TV show I have seen in at least a year, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know. It's really good.
Dexter?
No, better than.
Sorry.
Better than.
I'm assuming he's talking about new shows.
Like, it is a new show too, so this thing.
Dexter.
This thing just series 1 started
name,
in May
name.
And the name of it is Luther, starring Idris Elba, which is what Andrew thought I was talking about. He's String a Bell. It's about, okay, so Luther is John Luther is his name. He's
not
the main
Lex.
Character
not Lex Luthor,
no, not Lex. Why does everybody think that? So John Luther, I know, yeah, that's true.
Superman,
that's true. John Luther is a police officer. He's in
this. What a Lex Luthor show would be about.
It would be about him. Yeah, him being an asshole and not
him preventing bigger assholes from being assholes by being an asshole.
I think we should make that show.
I think we should not stick to what we're doing. No, keep expectations low.
Anyways, Douglas, I'm sorry.
You should be.
Right, Luther.
But no, so John Luther is a detective in a special unit. I can't remember what it's called. Some sort of special unit, but it's not
a regular police.
No, no, but it's not played up like that. It's not like, oh, I'm in the special victims unit or whatnot. It's
and then Luther saw a dark blue and it became shite.
Oh, that's
wow!
Just like your chicken shirt.
But no, okay, so shut up.
this is 1 + 1.
So, John Luther, in the first 5 minutes of the first episode, you see him, he's he's chasing a child molester or a kidnapper, a perp. Yeah. And so you can see that this is they're building it up as like John Luther is a guy that doesn't go by the book because
of course.
You know. But he
can't get word in like that, right?
So he's chasing him through some sort of, you know, it's always through some like old abandoned warehouse or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, you know? The French connection.
So he's in this like warehouse and, you know, he's running down a guy and the guy like falls through a hole.
Of course.
And he's hanging on. He's like, please save me. And Luther's like, well, if you tell me where the child is, maybe. And so he tells him. And then he gets... They find the child and everything is cool.
Does Luther kick him?
Luther don't kick him. But Luther just kind of looks at him and he's like, should I help this guy? No. And he falls, you know, to the depths and whatnot. And the next thing you see is like 6 months later and Luther is like in a psychiatric place and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then it jumps again and he's out. And of course, they take him back with open arms.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Everyone takes cycles.
Yeah?
But when you finish, I'll tell you a funny story about cycles.
Cool. But essentially, that's what this show is. This show is about a borderline psycho cop. He's not...
On the force.
Yeah, he's on the force. And he's completely under control. He's not psycho at all. But there's always that doubt in everybody else's mind about him. Mm-hmm. And
that he'll jump the shark.
Exactly, that he'll jump the shark. And actually, it really plays on that well, especially towards the end of the season. Yeah. Essentially, it just builds up from there. Like, he develops a really weird relationship with another perp, which sometimes I wonder why they need it, but sometimes I'm like, this is really cool. But all in all, this is really like one of the best shows I've seen in ages, and it's only 6 episodes long.
Oh, that's great.
Which is kind of annoying because I wish there was more. I know I'm gonna have to wait another flipping year for another 5
if you're lucky.
Exactly, if I'm lucky.
You know, those British love to take their time.
Exactly, what the hell is wrong with them? I'm not sure. I saw it in SD. You have to check it out. You have to look and wherever.
My monitor doesn't play well with SD.
For people who have watched the right cop show, which is Dirty Harry, is it a waste of time to watch Luther?
No,
because I've already seen an asshole.
I've seen both of those. Right. But Luther is not like that. Luther is not a crazy man who's gonna point a gun at you and
he's the other type of crazy man.
Yeah, he's the other no, he's not crazy at all, which is what I'm saying. Or he doesn't show it at all during the show, right? He's alright, what's the best way to describe he's an off the books kinda guy. He's just like, okay, instead of actually taking him in and doing this, that and going by the book, I'll like pretend to do something, and then if I pretend correctly, he will tell me what the answer is. You know, like, so it's not. I mean, it's nothing new, but the way that this show is acted, the way that it is portrayed, the way that
acted.
No, that's a way I can say that it works. Okay, the story and the story and everything is just fantastic.
Funny enough, punk is not what I think of when I think of Dirty Harry. What I think of is this scene when they're explaining to the partner who Dirty Harry is, and he's talking to the captain, and someone is telling him about a story about how he arrested a man for attempted rape. And he's like, how do you arrest someone for attempted rape? And the guy's like, when I see a man chasing a woman naked with a hard on and a butcher's knife, I don't think he's there to collect for the Red Cross.
Yep.
That's what I think of when I think of Dirty Harry. Just to let you know.
Yeah. That's a good one. Right. So now, my funny anecdote about crazy people. There's a dude in Britain who has been in a psych ward for 12 years.
This is a real story.
Is this a real story?
I don't remember. No. I don't remember his name. Can't Google it if you want. Okay.
No, that's interesting.
So, no, not you. People listening to the podcast. You don't Google shit. So he he beat up a hobo, as we all do. I mean, homeless people aren't homeless people.
Exactly.
Everyone knows that. Some policeman with a bleeding heart locked him up. Asshole. And so he thought, hey, I don't want to go to prison, so let me pretend to be crazy, and then they'll lock me up in the psych ward. Right? Sounds right. Except now that he's locked up, he can't get out. Because, funny enough, acting normal in a psych ward makes you look more crazy. Can't really convince people that if you go around in a psych ward saying, I'm not really crazy, no one will listen. So for 12 years, which would have been longer than the time he'd have spent if he had gone to prison, he's been in a psych ward going, I'm not crazy, I'm not. And it's gotten to the point where he has started doing things to make himself seem just crazy enough.
As he's getting better?
No, and so there was a few psychiatrists that were willing to talk to This American Life, and they, one of them said, they know that he's not crazy crazy. The problem is that he shows all the symptoms, so the symptoms of being a sociopath. That is why he's good. But, and so they're saying, but would acting normal trigger you to think that? And the person's like, yeah, actually. Yeah, so it doesn't pay to act crazy.
I'd like to think that one day, when this guy eventually gets out,
He's actually going to kill people.
He'll hear this podcast and he'll hear you talking about him and he'll be like, that fucker.
No,
they
can't let him out because if you lock up someone for 12 years in a psych ward that wasn't crazy, 12 years in, I'm pretty sure he's actually crazy.
Law abiding citizen time?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. They have to shoot him or something. There's no way that you come in. So that's it for you?
Yeah, I think so.
What did I watch this week? Mm-hmm. So spoke about The Runaways already. I saw a talk called Panic.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a unique film, a special film, but not a good one.
Wow.
I don't know, there's something about these films which what they do is they give you a simple, ridiculous premise, and instead of actually having the story go along, it's just so ridiculous that they just have plot points hit every 2 minutes. Where it's like, I don't know if you know what this movie is about, right?
I'm not going to watch it.
The beginning of this story is that these guys live in a house. It's a horse, an Indian, and a cowboy, right? It's the horse's birthday. And the Indian and the cowboy decide for his birthday they're going to build him a barbecue, and the Indian says, we need 50 bricks, let's order bricks online, and then they go to the site and by a magical coffee accident they accidentally order 50 million bricks. And this is how the story of a town called Panic begins.
Moving right along.
And that is just the first 10 minutes of the movie, and it's around 75 minutes.
I know, that sounds interesting.
I'm sure Damien of this movie.
Yeah. No, the second Douglas said, you know, it's weird, but
I like it.
It's like, I'm like, okay, yeah. I've learned my lesson. Douglas and his fucking movies.
Last week when we were talking about The Social Network, you guys mentioned a movie called August, which I hadn't seen, so I went and I watched that film. And I don't think I've ever watched a movie which was so mediocrely bad, but at the same time so pissed.
Did you just use mediocre as an adverb?
Yes, mediocrely. Just like acted.
I think I'll start my second beer though.
Right, mediocrely and acted, alright.
So
average, it was mediocrely acted.
Yes, it was mediocrely acted.
It was so average, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for you guys to finish.
No, we're not finished.
Actually, we were waiting.
We need more, you know, stuff.
Movie was just so average, but at the same time, due to wonderful scoring, pacing, and dialogue and delivery from Josh Hartnett, I kind of found myself enjoying it because of just how, like, the persona he portrayed on screen. Like, it
was the cameo in the end. I like that.
There's a cameo in the end?
In the end.
Well, it's been a while since I've seen it, so I don't remember at all.
Doesn't David Bowie show up at the end?
Oh, yeah, he's at the end. I didn't think of it.
Oh, yes, yes, you're right.
For some reason, because of the topic, I felt it was going to be some tech cameo you were talking about. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like,
and I love how he treated the guy. He's just like,
look, let's pack up your shit. Are everybody packing up their shit? I'll buy them, not you. Move.
The movie really isn't worth watching, but if you watch it,
why.
You like Josh Hartnett.
Because it's a movie. So just take that and rub out August and put Facebook. And then take out all the drama of him losing all his money. And replace it with Mark Zuckerberg being an ass.
The movie will be awesome.
Have you ever seen Mark Zuckerberg? Charismatic is not the word I used to describe.
Apparently he's going to be on The Simpsons sometime soon.
And Katie Kirk is interviewing him Sunday for 60 minutes or something.
Oh yeah?
The last big interview he had, he sweated like a dog and stopped answering people's questions. And no, he's going to do it again.
No, I don't steal people's information.
Facebook was my idea. Sure, I paid them $65 million to shut them up. It's all my idea.
Also this week I saw Salt, the new action film directed by Philip Noyce and written by Kurt Wimmer, the guy who wrote Law Abiding Citizen as well as Equilibrium,
The Pursuit of Happiness.
The movie that was supposed to be Tom Cruise but ended up being Angelina Jolie, and I have to say
I love that.
That I am so happy that it was Angelina Jolie and not Tom Cruise.
Really? Because the last movie that Tom Cruise did was so...
Just
remember what it was.
Whatever, that's not... No, but seriously, what would be the difference? Because you and I both are... I mean, I don't think we're great Tom Cruise fans, but we're
a big Tom
you are?
Cruise.
Okay.
Breast.
So
that's the difference.
That's true.
I like some breasts.
But you and me both, we can appreciate when Tom Cruise is on. And and if, like, a movie... Alright, you see, a lot of people hate that movie.
Yes.
But I really like that.
I hate that movie.
I like that movie.
I especially like when the sun returns after being blown to smithereens. And when air kills the aliens. Despite the alien tech being on Earth for 30 years. Air didn't kill it then.
Thank
but know that they wrecked
the
all the shit.
Everyone.
No one should watch it.
Well, no, but there's no air in the dirt. Come on.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's
yeah,
no air in the
exactly.
Dirt. I feel jealous.
No, but what is it about this movie that suits Jolie as opposed to Cruise?
Again, Bruce.
No. You see, she brought that. Right? She wears those every day.
We couldn't give them to Tom Cruise, could we?
To Les Grossman. I'm sure Les Grossman has a couple, you know.
Yeah, and it wasn't
fairly
pretty.
Large.
No one wants to see that again.
I think that'd be hilarious. Les Grossman as an action movie. That might.
Apparently, they're working on.
Yeah.
Something.
So they're working on a Les Grossman.
Yeah,
film, but I'm sure it's not an action
suck
movie.
Balls.
It probably will, which is kind of annoying. But like, I really enjoyed him in that movie. But seriously though, what is it about this movie that suited one and not the other?
No, it's just being a dick. You know that, and I know that. What is good about the movie? Let's stop talking about this Jolie Tom Cruise nonsense.
But he still hasn't answered my question.
Shut up. What's good about the movie now, sir? I want to watch it. Stop drinking and tell me what's good about the movie.
What was I saying now?
Yeah, you drunk bastard.
Okay, well, while you're
drunk
doing that.
Bastard. I hear that.
Oh, yeah, Jolie greater than Cruise. You see, the thing about it was that, and I don't know if Night and Day is tainting this idea.
Yes, it
of,
is.
Oh, boy.
But I kind of feel that if Tom Cruise was doing this movie, instead of just reading the script and kicking ass, Tom Cruise would have injected the Tom Cruise character, which we know and love, where he just smiles every 2 seconds and tries to charm the shit out of you. While Jolie doesn't do that.
Doesn't do that generally, though.
That movie with...
Does he?
Generally. Like, I mean, there are a few cases where he isn't doing that, which are movies like Magnolia and The Last Samurai.
And there's a movie with the black guy that he's a hitman.
He's a hitman?
Yeah.
Oh, collateral.
Collateral, oh, right.
Yeah. Even though he does, at points in that movie, does do the whole I'm trying to charm you until he figures out he's a hitman. Thank you.
Do know that the black guy is Jamie Foxx, right?
I was going to call him Ray. Which is even worse. I keep forgetting him.
I feel like if I rewatch Ray now, I won't like it.
No,
I really don't want to do that. I don't want to not like that movie. No, that movie was awesome when I watched it.
I can attest, it's still good.
Yeah?
Still good, okay.
Maybe I'll watch it again.
His depiction of him is so good, it's kind of uncanny. So. And the rest
and
of
then
him.
He just does shit. You know, what the hell?
No, he got
lucky with this one.
Important.
No, well...
He became too big and started
you know,
taking
this,
out
there are a couple movies where he was still kind of good in it. I didn't mind him in... Jarhead. He was good in Jarhead. And what else is there? No, but it was clear Valentine's that movie Day. Was from like right after or right before Ray.
So what's the excuse for Valentine's Day?
Boy, he...
The soloist? No, he was good in Cash.
Was he?
He was good even
he was good
the
in
movie
the
stuff.
Yeah.
The movie looked horrible.
Too pretentious.
What is that talking about again?
Salt. No, you don't tell me why the movie is awesome. Does she? How many people does she kill? Give me a roundabout.
For the count.
Yeah.
Oh, kill. Well, there's... Let's the kill count goes up to around 30, but the injury count masses up to around 100.
Oh, that's correct. Yep.
100? How many minutes does this movie go on?
It's less than 2 hours.
All right, so 100
that's
and less...
per minute.
About right. one per minute,
one
yeah.
Per minute,
all right, that works.
That's great. Using my hot sauce logic.
What I really liked about this movie is even though it plays the action perfectly in that you have this thinly veiled plot just allowing you to move from action scene to action
pretty
scene.
Pretty much all I need.
Kurt Wimmer decides to give you a law-abiding citizen-style story in which you really don't care whether she's good or she's bad. You're going to see plot twists left, right, and center, but you enjoy it as it's happening.
Okay.
It's a really fun movie, and I feel Tom Cruise
is
have ruined
that. It's going to end up that she is good, but the guys around her are bad. Call it.
Was Chewie awesome?
And I have to say, just as a side note, to make it seem even more obvious as to how see-through this plot was, I was playing Guess the Twist during the movie and I got it right.
Okay. So if Andrew can see.
But yes, how was Chewie? Was Chewie good?
Chewie was serviceable.
Did he get to kick some ass?
He was doing 2012 where he just stood up and said, I will say my line and I'll walk up to the way.
I am a sophisticated black man. You can all move on.
Chewie needs to get a vehicle.
Hey. Red belt. That's all I need.
Oh my goodness. That was awesome.
Two. I don't care.
I guess I can talk about this. I watched the first season of The British Office. Finally, I've been holding off on this show forever. Douglas has been telling me about it. They've had the US version for years now. This show is brilliant. Ricky Gervais is
brilliant.
He's one of my favorite TV show creators right now, and I think he has another show that he's working on
has it started already, the one about the small people, right?
I'm not even sure what the show
and it
is
has
about.
Willow in it,
but I know that he's working on something and I can't wait to see what he's doing because I love Extras to death. I'm going to somehow finish up the second season along with the finale movie Christmas special for The Office this week.
And
the truth of the matter is, after watching the first season, as much as I love it, I have no intention of watching the American version. I feel like all it's going to do is dilute my love for the
But movie. You see, I thought the same exact thing when I watched it. And then, I was right when I watched like an episode in the first or the second season. Because I was like, but this is the same exact thing. Because it really was. For, I guess, the first 2 years, they essentially parroted what was happening in the British. But, of course, after the 2 years, they couldn't do that because there were only two
Steve
seasons.
Steve Carell is not Ricky Gervais.
I know, but he is really good. And so is everybody in that show. That's the one thing about this American Office. There is quality in each and every actor, no matter how big or small the role. And it's just it's so funny. It's not quite as awkward as The British Office, but it's an
That's
American
what I worry
show.
About.
So, but
I
it,
worry
no, it still has
that.
It still has lots of awkward moments and lots of awkward humor. But it's not. I mean, you're always gonna have that. Where because it's in a different place, you have the different, the cultural divide kind of works in its favor. So it's more geared towards U.S. audiences. But it is really funny. I wouldn't even say, like, for example, I've been watching The Office for a while now. Maybe 2 years. Maybe 2.5 years. I don't know. But even though I've said, okay, I'm going to actually watch the first couple of seasons, I still haven't. And that doesn't hurt my enjoyment, and actually I kind of think it probably helps my enjoyment of the show, because then I don't get to see, oh, this is episode 5, oh, this is episode 6 kind of deal. So what I would say to you is start at like season 3, season 4, and work yourself to, I think this is now season 6. That was
Didn't
the latest
they say
one.
They're never going to stop it, anyways.
No, they're not going to stop it. Carell is leaving after Carell this next season.
How will they ever replace him?
Well, Idris Elba was on it for a while, so maybe he'll come back. You're horrible. Steve Carell is awesome. Jesus. But no,
yeah,
really, Andrew, you should try. You should try.
No, I mean,
try
I've
the
seen,
no,
random
I don't. Because I like all his other stuff. I love The Office. I love Dan in Real Life. All right, I'll give you that. But Bruce was kind of good. I like Bruce.
Date Night.
I still haven't watched Date Night.
He was
in it. He was for like 2 minutes. But
he did blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he was
stuff like that.
But no, this guy has done some quality stuff, and I'm sure he's gonna
the
find
Daily
something.
Show, man.
He was good on The Daily Show too.
I actually remember.
Barely.
Funnily enough, I remember an episode of The Daily Show where he came on to talk about one of his movies. Like, he had left The Daily Show a long time ago, and he came on, and Jon Stewart was like, so when am I getting that report? And Steve Carell was like, dude, I don't work here anymore. I'm, like, doing big stuff. I'm doing movies and stuff now. He's like, so when am I getting that report? And I just remember that just sticking in my head, and, like, how funny that was.
No way.
Daily Show is a really funny show. I need to watch that show more.
Yeah, me too.
You know, there's a website devoted to showing you clips.
Yeah, I know. I check a lot of clips.
I don't think they have one solid clip for each show, though, which is annoying.
Yeah, but they have all the funny bits.
Yeah. I remember seeing the clip for when they were talking about the BP oil spill and how they were when they were planning to put a little cap on it and how he decided to use this thing to represent it, and then he had the fish pole with...
They're headless. I'd love to work on that show. It's the dream.
Olivia Munn has moved there, which I find.
Oh, she's over there now?
The girl from Attack of the Show.
G4, right?
Yeah.
G4 girl, right?
Like,
Show used to be so good.
And then Sarah
used to be so
I
good.
Know when it was like ZDTV. It was so great.
They fired all
those
can't
fuckers. I remember her name.
But they're
not
all working
Sylvain.
No,
the blonde girl. Yeah.
Oh, Sarah Lynn.
Sarah Lynn.
Like,
and
when she
and the two
the
Kevins,
went,
right? The two
no
Kevins
idea.
Were there. Kevin Pereira and Kevin somebody
Kevin
else.
Pereira,
yeah, Kevin
Pereira.
Kevin
leave that show.
Kevin Rose, was
yeah.
he there too?
Yeah, he was there.
No, but there was a third Kevin, though. There was another Kevin that was
Kevin
not Rose.
Kevin Pereira, I believe, like, the days when Attack of the Show has been cancelled, will start announcing ads for G4 TV or whatever the station is. He will never leave that channel.
Yeah, he's been there since the beginning. But people love it, clearly. Just like people love Spike. Spike is the worst channel on TV.
Spike has a lot of bad shows.
Yeah.
A lot of bad things
and
are on Spike.
UFC, and
but
that's all that's watchable.
Really? You like UFC?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
That's all that's watchable.
But no, you know what I really did like on Spike was they used to have this...
CSI repeats.
No, not the Man Show, even though I'm told it's really good and I should watch it.
The Man Show was actually from Comedy Central.
Yeah, I know. But what they had on it was... this Japanese show that
oh,
they recut.
No,
I used to love it. Super,
no.
Super Extreme or whatever
oh,
it's called.
Where they play the game.
Yeah.
I think
that's
was
hilarious.
On the game show
but you see, the thing about...
I
no. Well, no,
was
it wasn't on the
like
Game
like
Show Network first. It was actually... It was apparently, like, on in, like, the 80s or early 90s in
yeah,
Japan.
When they,
and
no, I know. The show actually existed in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And they're taking it. I'd have... people dubbing over.
Yeah, and it's hilarious. But I hear that they're actually doing new footage and it might be kind of crappy. But the first two or three seasons were fantastic. Those were hilarious.
Come back and watch it. Just hear what they say about the film.
Man.
Anyways, let's move on into trailers.
What? Oh, trailers.
Trailers? What? What trailers are we talking about?
First of all, there was a trailer for Fast.
Rubbish.
Starring Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, he's The Rock.
I want to talk to you today about forgiveness. The road to revenge is a dead end street. Down that 45, that 38, put it down, brother, forgive them, and it will set you free. Sermon's over.
Can we stop calling Dwayne Johnson?
Actually, I think it's time that we can give up The Rock.
Listen,
and call it Dwayne.
Listen.
Finally,
can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Yes, a revenge film.
Fine.
The Rock has returned.
Top action.
Douglas should be the first one to talk about
me.
It's a trailer.
Okay, the thing about this trailer is I didn't need a trailer. It's an action movie at last that has The Rock in it. The Rock hasn't done action in at least 4 years.
Five years, maybe.
He's been indebted to Disney for some reason. I don't understand why.
With space
but
some other shit.
But I have always liked The Rock. Oh, wow. I've always liked The Rock. And I think
that
I'm definitely going to watch this movie.
Yes, because he's in it. Wanted to like it, but it's the fucking Tooth Fairy. It's stupid.
Damien, you've redefined yourself to me right now.
That's I want an action star. That is why I keep watching his movies. To see if there's a chance for him to be.
You know,
the
was this the last
action
movie? It was probably that one with Stifler.
Yeah, The Rundown.
Yeah, The Rundown.
That's actually only action.
No, it's not.
He's in Scorpion King, which is not.
He's in Scorpion King, but he's also in Doom. He's in.
He was in Be Cool,
but that's not really an action movie.
Where he moved to some country place.
Oh,
beat up
Walking Tall.
Walking Tall, but that one wasn't.
That one was horrible. I didn't like that one.
Yeah, great.
And he was in your guys' movie, Southland Tales.
That was shite.
Oh, you know what movie he was in? And he was spectacular. It was spectacular. No, I kind of like Be Cool, but it wasn't that great. And that's not what I'm talking about. Reno 911. He was great.
I love his moment.
Isn't he coming in a movie with Sam Jackson?
Is he? The other guys,
but
right?
He's going to be focused on some other people that no one needs to see.
You know,
it's Spies Like Us Part 2.
Shit.
That's
you
what
know what I love? I love watching that trailer. I'm watching like the first 30 seconds, You know what I love even more though? I love when it just starts.
Sam Jackson's giving the speech.
The speech is hilarious, but just the beginning when Sam Jackson says. No, and Dwayne Johnson shouts, "Why am I on this roof?" And Sam Jackson says, "I shout this up to laugh the bad life choices."
Yeah.
And I think that's his entire film career.
Yes.
I shout this up to bad life
movies.
Just...
I think the last movie that Sam came in that I really respected, I remember that, he's actually an actor, was Black Snake Moon.
But what about,
You
Deserve to Die.
Before Snakes on a Plane, when he jumped the
shark.
What?
That's,
Jesus. Rules of engagement.
No, it's not.
Yes, they deserve to die.
That's the lawyer movie with Matthew McConaughey and
A Time to Kill.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I actually don't remember that movie.
Really?
All you need to remember is Yes, They Deserve to Die.
And I hope it's been a while since I've seen it, but it's really good.
Is
as far as I remember.
Waste the motherfuckers.
Actually, we were talking about Fasto when this started.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
So The Rock is in a revenge flick.
That's about it, right? Exactly. That's all I needed to know too. But to tell you the truth, if I were to grade this movie, right, if I were to grade it based upon the trailer, I would. Well, it's kind of unfair. It's unfair to, because like Andrew's saying, it's a teaser. It's about 30 seconds long, and all it is like, it really just tells you what I need to know to realize that I want to watch it. The Rock is in it. It's a revenge film, and they know how to cut up fancy scenes.
My problem,
that's it.
The only problem I have with this trailer is that Billy Bob is in it, and clearly he's a bad guy, and I don't like that.
Actually,
because they're not going to do what Taken did, which is by the time you got to the final bad guy, right? They had already established that he's going to shoot everybody in the movie. And the bad guy started bargaining and got one in the head, and the movie was done. They're not going to do that with Billy Bob. He's not going to show up once and get murked. It's never going to happen. They're going to have him talk and, oh, this is why I did this, and overarching nonsense.
I'd like to tell you you're wrong, because Billy Bob is actually the police officer chasing.
Yes!
Chasing him.
Thank
there
you.
Is a bad guy in him, but not in the teaser trailer. He's some assassin going after him. So therefore, you can
hopefully
change everything you just said.
Good. That's all. This movie. Just
however,
like
however, based on what Andrew,
if
they say wait,
go faster. I'm taking off.
Based on what Andrew said, though, would you grade this trailer,
mm-hmm.
Good or poorly? Because you interpreted it incorrectly, or because you, what it portrayed was maybe a little bit misleading.
Because it looked like he was the bad guy.
No, you just assumed because it had one
yes.
shot of him.
Right.
It said Billy Bob because they had to tell you of another
exactly.
star.
But you know what though,
exactly.
Billy Bob.
When they do that,
Billy Bob had crazy hair and he
exactly.
looked crazy.
Exactly.
Therefore,
the
usually the crazy man is the
if
bad guy.
Put a badge anywhere near him or a siren on top of the car, and I've gone, oh, clearly. But it's the trailer's fault.
Okay.
For tricking me.
For some reason, when I saw this trailer, I reiterate everything Damon said. It's Dwayne Johnson in an action revenge film. That's
a
awesome.
Proper one.
However, for some reason, when I saw this trailer and how it started with him taking the thing off the car and into the car, I immediately was reminded of the fact of the news I read recently that he's been cast in Fast and the Furious 5.
Did you replace it with Diesel?
No. Which is hilarious because now Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel's careers as action stars are going to intersect. So these careers, which I've held as more or less parallels, are just converging.
First of all, no matter how bad, all the poor decisions that The Rock made, those movies made bank. And he has never in his life said, think PlayStation. In fact, no one else in there, whoever wrote that line should be shot. Whoever directed that should be shot. Whoever edited that movie, anyone that had anything to do with Triple X should be banned for life from doing anything at all movie related. Because that movie is garbage. And they made a second one.
They made three.
What?
They made a directed video.
Ice Cube was in the second one, right? Which was, I mean, if you could ever replace.
Did they make a third one? Are you sure?
I think so.
Triple X, XXX, Triple X Cubed. You guys are lying. There's no one greenlit another Triple X movie. That is impossible.
The Return of Xander Cage.
What?
Oh, it's actually in the works, I think.
Oh, that's what it is. So that's why I think there's three, but it hasn't happened yet. Okay.
Because as we've noted in Fast and the Furious, Vin Diesel has decided to try and go into somewhat of a serious career, failed, and
he's now back to doing the same shit that he started with. Where's Pitch Black 2?
Didn't they do that? They did that already. That was
yeah,
on the...
The Chronicles,
oh, yeah,
of
the Chronicles
Riddick.
Of Riddick. And then they are, and then he's been talking about doing a third one forever. Shit.
This guy's the worst. Never watching anything with him again.
By the way, I'd like to get it from to hear
so,
from right, just somebody whose opinion I actually like kind of hold in
so
some sort of regard. No, shut
talk?
Up. Pitch Black. Everybody seems to like it, but I saw Chronicles of whatever and it was shite.
Yes.
Pitch Black. Is it any good?
Yes.
Is it? It's
yes.
It's really good.
Right. Because what they did is that they took a bouncer and they cast a bouncer type in a movie. His entire job was to be menacing. And that is what he did for the entire movie. He didn't try to act. He didn't pretend to care about shit. They didn't give him anything that would move the plot along. They just had him kill shit and be menacing. That's it. And then all the guys around him, they said, you guys move this story along. You stay there and look menacing. That's it. It's a fun action movie. It's not anything spectacular, but it's probably his... there's the one, Find Me Guilty.
Yeah,
like
that movie was, it was okay.
It's probably his best movies.
Well, it depends on what you call his movies. For example, you could say, well, he was in Saving Private Ryan. But only for...
That is, for some reason, what I think of his greatest movie ever. Because not only is it a fantastic film, but he's the first one to die.
Right. He's not in that
movie. He dies in like 20 minutes, which I love.
He's
actually,
not,
it's probably like 30 because of how long that first scene is.
He's not in that movie. Not really. Right. What else?
Buried came out this week. The first trailer for Buried.
Yes, 911.
I'm from Hastings, Michigan. I'm a driver for CRT. My convoy was ambushed. I'm buried in a coffin in the ground, and I need help. Please send help. I'm begging you.
How did you end up in the coffin, sir?
I was put here.
You're a medical?
Yeah.
$5 million to 9 months you stay buried like dog.
United States Pharmacy?
I'm an American citizen. My convoy was attacked and I'm being held for ransom. I need $5 million or I'll be left to die here. These threats are real and will be followed through on.
With Ryan Reddy.
Have you seen the pictures of him as Green Lantern? He looks kind of awesome. I have
he's
to
in
say.
A gray
really
suit. He's in a gray suit just walking around. What are you doing?
No.
The CG suit. That is essentially
just... I thought
just,
those were fan-made pictures.
No, that's real.
It's just a wireframe of his muscles with green light all over it.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Oh, I thought those were fan-made pictures. No. I thought...
He essentially has the Matrix running on his shirt.
Let me see if I can look that up. No.
Should be just go to slash him. It's at the top.
But yeah, so he's crazy. But anyway, Green Lantern. Buried. Mm-hmm. So Buried trailer came out, and I have to say, you guys I know say it's a bad trailer, but and I kind of felt that way as well. But at the same time, if you think about it, it gave us. Just enough information, or it gave me just enough information for me to really want to go to this film. It reminded me how much I liked Ryan Reynolds. It shows me that there is actually some way of making him actually be in this coffin for the whole movie, but still be able to move the story forward and not get me bored. They played a couple of like lines from him trying to call the police and also I guess talking to like people that are ransoming him and stuff like that, and you really tell that he's like trying to organize something from wherever he is, because clearly they've left him with a cell phone, and that's actually interesting. You know that he, even though he's wherever he is down 6 feet under,
he's
still
buried.
Oh, he's Iraq, okay, so he's there, he's still is connected to people that can move around and
I
do
like
things.
To think that he immediately uses his phone to log on Twitter.
He's like, oh shit, I'm
up.
I re-lanted into the search box at the top. It was on, it was the banner on the top for
a long time.
I guess they changed it for Comic Con.
Yeah.
You see, I'm with you. This trailer, like, as...
You didn't like the trailer, you're lying.
No, hold on. You see, I didn't like the trailer because it does...
It doesn't show you any footage at all. And that is probably your...
No, that
your...
is all the footage. That is footage.
No, but that's probably your greatest... I think that's what you really do like about it. But at the same time, it doesn't need to. I mean, it's done its job, even though...
That's it.
Oh. Even though, you know, you're just kind of like, meh.
Like, you see, here's the thing. It doesn't show you any footage, and I'm kind of annoyed by that. Like,
they did show you footage. That is the movie. Didn't you read any other write-ups for this movie?
Like, I mean, I know it's him in a box for 90 minutes.
Right.
And I'm sure it can't be that long, because if he's in a box, how can they really strip?
That's what everyone said, and then everyone came out of the movie going, wow, they kept him in a box and kept the camera on him the entire time, and the movie's awesome.
One of the most annoying shoots to ever be on. Like, you're like, what am I doing today? Oh shit.
Not if the director had a clear vision. Got it done quickly. I want to see it.
And I want to see this movie. The trailer didn't, I didn't need a trailer. I want to see this movie. But like, I kind of feel cheated with all of the text running around and the
graphics.
The moving graphics with all of the dialogue. Because, I mean, I get you. With the dialogue, when you just listen to it, the story it gives you, you're like, this is kind of an interesting way to look about a man being buried and trying to figure out. Because, I mean, I watched that episode of CSI where the guy was buried and people had to figure out where he was and how to save him and all that. And I was thinking, how could it stretch this into a movie? But because I really didn't like that episode that much of CSI, because I stopped watching CSI. But yeah.
That's not annoying at all.
Bad trailer.
Okay.
Bad trailer, but still looks like a good movie. I still want to watch the movie.
All done. Next.
No.
Why did the mommy milk cheat on the daddy milk?
The trailer.
Because the daddy milk didn't listen to the mommy milk.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, it's listening. Right.
It's listening. Uh-huh. And you know, he didn't provide the sort of emotional support that she needed.
He needs to provide the milk.
Yeah, he was all selfish. He was like, baby, put some of your milk in my bottle, but it doesn't go the other way.
The trailer for the new Ben Affleck film, The Town, came out this week.
Miss Kesey, I would like to start with your abduction.
Four men made me open the safe. They took me as a hostage.
Were you able to see anything at all through the blindfold?
No.
When someone endures an experience like this, there are often residual effects. You're okay?
Just having a bad week.
I like to have a good cry at the nail salon. Why should we play a train?
What do you say about Scorsese making a movie?
Yeah, his movie's called The Town. Damon, what do you think?
Scorsese's movie looks great.
It's not Scorsese.
You're
lying. Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck can't do anything like this. He's Ben Affleck. No, I'm joking.
The
problem I have with this is that
I've seen it, but it took me a while to remember because I saw it maybe 3-4 days ago whenever it came out.
I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen in this movie.
Oh, of course. Like, there's actually, I've seen articles where people are saying, do you think that The Town gave away too much in the trailer?
Probably, because they've
given away quite a bit. It's clear from the trailer that Ben Affleck is a bank robber. So is Jeremy Renner and essentially almost anybody else who is in the trailer.
Everyone that you see.
Right? Ben Affleck with Jeremy Renner, or maybe not, but his crew has kidnapped this girl. I can't remember who the girl is. And he says that he loves her. I don't know. So,
sick man.
Clearly, this is going to be some weird little movie about some sort of love thing going on between Helsinki syndrome.
Let's have a bet.
Or Stockholm syndrome.
Let's have a bet.
What's that?
How many of them die before the movie's done?
I would say just Jeremy Renner.
The question here I have for you, right, is how close Do you think this movie is going to come to heat?
I think, okay, if we were to remake Heat, I think Jeremy Renner would be the front runner for Val Kilmer's role.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeremy Renner is Val Kilmer. Ben Affleck is
De Niro, you think?
John Hamm is Al Pacino.
I just love hearing it.
And Rebecca Hall is, I can't remember her
Rebecca
name.
Rebecca Hall, that's
the chick
from The Heat. The girl who was in Judge Judy. The Judge TV show that I used to like to watch.
The chick from The Heat. Right.
Judging Amy.
So,
no, that's not Rebecca Hall.
No, Rebecca Hall. No, I know that isn't her, but the girl who played the judge in
Judging Amy. I hear it.
I can't remember her name. And that's
Ali something or...
I don't know her name. No, I could Google this. I could IMDb right now, but I'm too fucking lazy.
Yep. So you say only Jeremy.
Maybe a couple. Maybe
of the four. The three guys. The three main guys.
Okay, Jeremy Renner. That's it.
Guaranteeing the chick is the only one alive at the end of this movie. Guaranteed.
You not even John Hamm?
No, everybody is
John Hamm dies.
Everybody's dead.
John Hamm, the lawyer. He's a lawyer, right? Or is he a cop?
He's
what
a
do
cop.
You think?
He's a cop.
He's a cop.
FBI agent. Mm-hmm.
He was a lawyer.
No, he's a cop.
Which is why I'm saying he's Al Pacino.
And he's also dead by the end of this movie.
I really love this trailer. Like, Ben Affleck surprised us with Gone Baby Gone.
That he did.
Surprised you guys because you're so... I know he's surprised.
And this is his second film as a director, and he's actually starring in this one. As much as I'm not looking forward to his acting,
You know what? No, I will give him.
Leave Affleck alone.
I'll give him that since he's directing and since he has so much control over this movie, he'll probably do okay. Especially since look at how the way people reacted to Hollywoodland. They really liked him in that movie.
I really liked Hollywoodland. However, I can't even give a lame excuse as to why he was awesome in that movie.
Superman.
He was playing a bad actor.
You're horrible.
Takes a fair amount of acting chops to portray a bad actor.
Or maybe you just need to be a bad actor.
You're mean.
How am I the mean one?
Sorcerer's Apprentice. Has anyone seen that?
It comes out next week.
With Inception.
And you know what's the third movie that comes out with it? You want to guess what the third movie is?
Step Up?
Cats and Dogs 2.
That's actually, you know what though? You know what? No, stop. Seriously. That is a great thing for us. You know why? Everybody's going to Cats and Dogs.
Although, again, the trailer, the third trailer that they're showing everywhere has people shooting guns. And
yeah.
If there's one thing that's keeping
seats, it's guns. I'm looking forward to the town, so let's move on.
Right.
Happens every day when some passerby. This week I wanted us to talk about The Long Goodbye, a Robert Altman film.
Fun fact, also in the IMDb top 100.
Really? It is?
When I saw the email, I went, shit.
Sit down, Marlo. No, it's okay, I'd rather stand. No, I don't mind sitting either. Marlo, I'm Sergeant Green. This is Detective Dayton.
Yeah, I saw your badge. Where's his?
Where did you go last night, Marlo?
Oh, is this where I'm supposed to say, what is all this about? And he says, shut up, I asked the questions.
Yeah, that's right, Marlo. So just ask the questions. Where did you go last night?
Well, maybe if I knew why you wanted to know, I could remember.
You gainfully employed, Marlo?
I don't know.
Where do you work?
Yeah, I heard you. I understand English, believe it or not. I'm a private detective. I have my own agency. Those girls are vicious. Actually, I take a better picture now, but your business hasn't been as good as it used to be.
You've seen it already.
It's getting kind of ridiculous. Yeah, I've seen it already.
You see, this is what I always feel. I
need to send you the link so that you can look at all the movies there, so that you can pick any of them.
I think my first priority, before I even pick a good film, is to pick a movie you haven't seen. But I always keep feel bad when
classic
I pick
movies.
Actually, no, I picked this movie not because I didn't even know that it had a rep. Because someone had recommended this movie to me a long time ago, and
no,
I and to date, this is actually the first Robert Altman film.
I think my problem is I'll listen to too much film spotting and I try to keep up with a lot of the movies that they claim are great. So it's more my fault than your fault. Although, can't really blame me for watching good movies.
I try.
So Andrew, what did you think about this film?
First of all, what is this movie about?
What is this movie about?
Oh, sorry, one more thing. In XBMC, guess what this movie is right beside?
What?
The Long Kiss Goodnight. Right there.
Oh, Gina Davis.
I was tempted.
Sam Jackson.
I was tempted.
By the way, do you know a fun fact about XBMC? It now supports, I believe, I still haven't done it because my hard drive is a little bit weird, but it now supports, I think, automatic downloads of trailers to any movie that you have.
Oh, that's... I mean, I usually download the trailers myself because I'm kind of crazy. I'm putting it, but that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the trailers are poor quality.
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to put
myself. Question I want to ask you before I even get into this movie.
Mm-hmm.
How many Robert Altman films have you seen? I don't want to ask Douglas because I'm sure he hasn't seen that many.
Not sure.
Like, are they, like, when you think of Robert Altman, there are movies you've seen. I've seen Prayer Herb Companion.
I've seen Gosford Park. Yeah,
I haven't seen that one.
This is the one where there's a colonel and he owes money and
right.
Okay, yeah.
People have told me about Sneakers, which is a
great movie. Oh, Sneakers is fucking awesome. I love that movie.
Seen.
It has your guy in it too, Robert Redford.
Oh, I like Robert Redford.
And Dan Aykroyd and all sorts of people.
Oh, he did Popeye? That's awesome.
I love
Popeye.
Yeah, Popeye's okay.
Scroll down.
He did MASH. People love MASH.
Yeah, I've seen clips of the MASH
movie. Yeah, I saw MASH.
Actually,
I'm a big fan.
Sad to see.
And, yes, he was just doing all the TV before that. Yes, that's about.
And,
so now that.
Oh, Shortcuts. I've seen a piece of that.
Nope.
That's where you get Red Bush from, Andrew. And Tom Waits is in that movie, bitch.
Shocking.
Yes. So you've seen a few Robert Altman films. Before I even get into what this movie's about or what I feel about this movie, how does this rank up against some of those films?
Probably the best one that I've seen. This is probably his best film for me, but I haven't seen that many.
Alright,
he's not one of my favorite directors, I must say. I do,
because I hear a lot of people who watch a lot of movies talk about Altman as one of the great directors that no one talks about,
but I haven't seen enough of his movies to really form a
opinion.
No, good.
So this film is about a private investigator whose friend,
back when you could do that unironically,
Google wasn't invented. where his friend is accused of killing his wife and then he commits suicide in Mexico and all the things that
which
occur,
is where you go to commit suicide. Tijuana.
All the things that occur in Mexico and in Hollywood during this time and him working as a PI. I actually wasn't a huge fan of this film. I was actually looking forward to this film because of who recommended it to me, because it was the same guy who recommended Chinatown to me, which I really loved, and I really like smart PI films, detective movies. Because, I mean, I always think, whenever I think of smart detective films, the first film I think of to name is Brick, which is one of my favorite films, directed by Rian Johnson.
Is it one of your favorite films and it was directed by Rian Johnson? Or is it one of your favorite directed by Rian Johnson?
I'm sorry. And directed by Rian Johnson.
Because he has not
done
many films.
I know. He has all of two.
I like the second one better.
Really? I'm not sure which one I like better, but like right now, if I were to just wing it,
apples
I'd say Brick.
I say apples and oranges because they're so different.
They really are so different, and that's kind
which
of.
Which is why I'm looking so forward to.
But I have to say, me too. I have to say though. True, but the second one. No. I have to say the second one. It really, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, this is okay. this is pretty decent. The second time I saw it, it was amazing. So that's actually a plus on the side of Brothers Bloom.
See, that's the thing. Because Rachel Weisz for me, when I watched it the first time, I was like, this movie is pretty good. And then I watched it again, and it's
Rachel
Weisz, fucking awesome.
Or whatever the hell
Rachel, I think it's Weisz.
It.
I don't know.
And that's a plus again. So that's HD and Rachel. That's plus 2 points.
Anyways, back to Our Long Goodbye. The thing about this movie is it's one of those movies where there's so many good things I can list about the movie. Like, for example, I love the character. Shit, I have to bring up the...
Philip Marlowe.
Sorry, sometimes names escape me. That Elliot Gould plays. And I've actually never really seen much of Elliot Gould other than Ocean's Trilogy. And I really love his character. He's witty character where no matter what scenario he's in, he's like really...
Finds a way to be smug.
He finds a real... And there's even that point towards the end of the movie where he's with the money man, the loan shark. And actually, question, I haven't looked it on IMDb perfectly, but there's this really muscly guy in the background of that scene. Is that Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I don't think so.
Because, like, when you see him and you think...
It's Schwarzenegger with a mustache. Check it out.
It looks so like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Just go to his page and then look for this movie. Trust me, it's him.
Okay. I never paid that any... I was too busy laughing at him being sarcastic. Because not a lot of characters did that well.
No, he doesn't.
Back in the day. He's
perfectly.
I mean, he's what I want to be when I grow.
But you're already grown up.
Smoke bastard. No, I'm still a child.
Yes, it's him.
I know it's him. I told you.
That's kind of hilarious that I've seen it because I was like, that can't be him. But Douglas was
right. That's another plus one for this movie. I like it even more. Just to know that he had a cameo.
There are.
But it's not a cameo if he's not famous.
Well, he's famous now. I know it's not. It was a cameo for him at the time.
It's a retroactive, yes, right?
What the hell was he doing in that movie?
I really love his character, and I really love the dialogue, and I really love a lot of the direction in the film and the music. Even though, like, I had a complaint
that
a couple
first
weeks ago about. The Graduate, in that you can't call it a soundtrack if you only have four songs. Wherein I'm watching a movie which really only has two songs. Because it has Long Goodbye variated around 20 times. And then a song in the end credits.
Look, back in the day, you know, money was tight. Films were made on low budgets.
Not spending no money on royalties. Come on.
Silly shit like music, are you crazy?
However, my problem with the film came with the story itself, the plot.
Wow.
Because as much as I love smart detective films, this film, I don't know if it's just like, maybe it's an error in that this is only my first viewing, and maybe when I watch it again, I'll see more, which will help me understand. But it felt like they brought up things whenever they felt like it, as opposed to actually organically bringing up solutions to all the problems that came up. So the movie starts out with the wife has been murdered and the friend commit suicide, and you expect the movie to go on him investigating this issue, but quickly immediately after he takes up another case about some drunk bastard who has gone to some hospital. And eventually it comes back around to this case, and then it inserts Augustine, who had something to do with a friend, looking for money, and then when it pleases the story, the money shows up. And it feels like it never really gives you an explanation for how all these things tie together. As I said, maybe it's that I really need to watch it again to find all the little bits that I missed. But it felt really odd in that circumstance where the plot points were very disguised and they just appeared out of thin air. I don't know if that's just me. Damon?
I want to hear what Douglas said.
I want to hear what you say.
I don't know. I've never seen this movie. Alright.
The money part they kind of explained at the end when he
when things, you know, came to exactly right, yeah.
I want to explain to him, but to do that I'd have to ruin the movie. So yeah, I agree with the first part that he said, you know, he takes up another case and then by some magic the all the stars align and he somehow ties that case to the suicide / murder case. But I didn't really pay much attention to like the flaws in the story. I was just so engrossed in this character and just how he went about doing this private investigation. I mean, he's just
I like movies like Chinatown. Like I love Chinatown as a private investigator movie. Yeah. But when I watch this movie, I'm like, I could just watch Chinatown again and love that movie again.
No, this movie is all about Franco. That's his name, Franco.
Philip Marlowe.
Yeah, Marlowe, not Franco. It's all about him. You don't spend a lot of time with people if he is not somewhere in the scene. And I don't know. I enjoy him much. You know, a lot of the Clint Eastwood movies that we watch because of Clint Eastwood and the character that he portrays.
Yeah.
And a lot of the background stuff, like story, don't really make a lot of sense if you follow it. And it's pretty much the same. Clint Eastwood just magically shows up at the right time and then these things happen and it's basically the same, except he's not Clint Eastwood, he's a private detective. And so yeah, I get that the story isn't very tight and there's holes and that you can pick up, but I just enjoy his performance so much and the overarching story. Again, can't say anything about the end because that would totally
ruin the film
for most people.
But am I completely ridiculous?
No, you're not completely off. But except like the money one, they explain away, and like the one, the case that he takes up tying in with the case that he should have been doing, that one's kind of fuzzy, but the rest they have pretty solid explanations for.
Okay, so you're a big fan?
Yes.
Andrew is not?
No.
No, I'm going to have to say that I kind of side a bit more with Andrew here. In principle, I love this movie. The overarching story of the private eye who gets burned and now needs to fix things or, you know, get some sort of whatever, that I really like that type of story. I love, just like you, I love the character. I love Marlowe. I love his witticisms. I love how he... It's a word.
No, I'm writing it.
Google it. Okay. Andrew is actually Googling it. What's that? Is that a word, Andrew? Oh, shit. Douglas knows how to speak his English good. Unfortunately. Goodly. Okay.
I think I'm going to keep that one. Goodly.
Anyway. Yeah, I enjoy that. And I really want to like this movie. I do. Like, throughout the movie, I was like, come on, just please do what I know would be awesome. Mm-hmm. But...
That was kind of weird to the left.
Exactly. What happens in this movie is, so the like I said, the private eye gets burned. His friend comes to him early in the movie and says, "Boy, I done fucked up again. Just take me to Tijuana, right?" And exactly. And the guy's like, "Sure, all right, whatever, you know."
Anyone in Tijuana is like, "Safe here." That's
so Marla takes his friend off to Tijuana, and he comes back, and all of a sudden, you hear his wife's dead. He's dead. Marlo's in jail, then Marlo's not in jail, all sorts of rubbish. And that setup was great. I loved it. But then, like Andrew said, he took another case. But I'm not even worried about the whole, ooh, he took another case, not involved, whatever. What I didn't really like was that even though they tried to hook you on the fact that, oh, this guy is passionate about his friend and needs closure and needs to figure out what happened, the way they did that was for him to go on as if nothing happened, and every 15 minutes in a movie, maybe, say, oh no, that was my friend, I liked him a lot,
until you get to the back
end, you know,
so
the believability of him, you know, trying to actually work out his personal case, which is, my friend just died, I don't really think he died, let me check what's happening,
he committed suicide.
Didn't think he committed suicide.
Someone murdered.
Right, exactly. I don't think that that portion of the story is really portrayed very well. Goodly.
Right? That's our word this week.
And it irked me because I was like, you know what it was? Because I knew exactly where they were going. I'm like, he is going to try and figure out what happened here. But they're not doing it. Like, every time he did something, I was like, but aren't you going to try and figure out what happened to your friend?
There were naked high lesbians.
That was another thing. That was completely unnecessary. At the same time,
attention to the man behind the curtain.
At the same time, right? That whole, oh, I'm doing yoga in no clothes bit is fine, because it kind of sets a tone for where he is. He's at home, you've got this really odd thing going on. He's not at home, whatever. And so that's okay, but the combination of that kind of silliness and unnecessary silliness, along with the fact that they're really going around in circles and not actually getting to the point, that kind of threw me off. And I just, you know...
Next time you guys watch a movie, watch the first 20 minutes.
And then the last 20 minutes.
Skip 4 hour ahead.
Yeah. And actually, to tell you the truth, you're quite right. That would be the perfect short.
It would be.
The perfect short film.
That kind of went off the rails a bit.
But I did not realize who this Altman guy was. I've already forgotten what movies we were looking at a while ago. But I remember thinking they were awesome. What was there? There was...
Gosford Park,
which, well, I won't say it's awesome, but it's fairly okay.
I believe he did Sneakers.
In the mix.
Sneakers was awesome. I like Sneakers. There was another one that I said I like, but I can't remember what. But clearly this... While drinking your juice. Yes. Clearly.
No, I'm completely wrong. He did not direct Sneakers. That's Phil Alden Robin.
Oh, well then, in that case, fuck Robert Altman. He is shite.
Thank you.
No, but you know. So what was there?
I don't know. That was
Short
Sneakers list.
Oh, okay, I hear you.
True Lies,
great film. So, to tell you the truth, though, I remember looking at Altman's list just a while ago and liking other films that he's done. So this is not a deal breaker. I will still try and look for his movies. But at the same time, this movie, I wouldn't recommend it as a really good movie. I'd say, you know, it's something that you can kind of watch and it'll be okay, but it won't be anything great.
I guess because I enjoy the character so much, I kind of put out of my mind.
The character is the highlight of the movie.
Yeah.
I definitely, like, if I'm making a PR list, this character will pop up.
Of course. He's
just
awesome.
So good. He's so smug. And
and he loves his cat.
And he loves...
and there's something about that.
And
yeah.
But cats will light a cigarette everywhere and anywhere.
No, because back in the day,
oh,
we do that.
By the way, can I tell you maybe one of my favorite moments that has nothing to do with the movie? but is in the movie. Has
nothing to do with the movie, but it's in the movie.
Exactly. There are a lot of those moments in this movie, yes. By the way, just to
but
let
it
you know.
Has nothing to do with
the but movie. It has nothing to do with the movie. Is when he gets sent to jail, and he's on his way to his cell, and he walks, and all of a sudden, he sees a clerk,
right,
that was
clerk
working
that was
in the store that where he was buying food for his cat.
How's your girl doing? He's like, how's your cat?
I thought that was kind of cool. Kind of funny.
You get arrested at a rally. How's the cat?
Sorry. That's a smart cat though.
I actually felt
it really is, yeah.
During this film a lot of the time. A lot of the sound mixing was really odd for me. I don't know if it was the fact that I had the DVD version or whatnot, but it felt like there were certain scenes where the music just took over and they didn't even want you to recognize the dialogue. There were even moments where they would have you behind a glass and the dialogue would be subdued a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I understand the reasoning for it in that we're recognizing that we're behind a glass. But at the same time, it felt like the dialogue was important and we were supposed to hear it, but it was kind of tough.
You have no center channel. That is why it sounds like that.
It's possible. I don't have a...
You
I
get,
need a surround
you
sound.
You get right, left.
Yeah, but I don't have a center.
So the mixing is a bit off. Center channel fixes all of that.
Okay, so maybe that's just me.
Hush.
So I guess overall, you're saying that you love this movie.
I like it a lot. I mean, it's because it's so hard to just have a movie centered around a character. And, I mean, it's not like he's going around shooting people. So how do you stay connected to a movie when all he does is talk? He just walks around and he's
Chinatown.
And it works.
What do you mean the Chinatown? You know what is the
Have
single
you seen Chinatown?
Do you know what is the
Have
single greatest PI movie ever made?
I'm afraid to ask.
Do you want to know what it is?
What is it?
The Big Lebowski.
Wow. Not Lady Killers.
Not Lady Killers. Yeah. No.
Have you seen Chinatown, Douglas? Have
Finding
you seen
Nemo.
Actually, Finding Nemo is a fairly good PI. Yeah. Yeah. But The Big Lebowski is the greatest.
Have you seen Chinatown, Douglas?
No, I haven't.
That's sad. So, Douglas, would you recommend this movie to people?
I suppose I would, but I wouldn't.
With caveats.
Yeah, with major caveats.
So, look, let's skip ahead. As soon as he hit the 20-minute mark. As soon as he comes out of jail, skip it.
Actually, I tell people, watch the first 20 minutes and that's it. Because you'd have gotten the gist of the character and then you'd have followed.
But the last bit is... It's interesting.
And that's the Schwarzenegger.
No. I didn't know Schwarzenegger and I enjoyed it.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
I want us to discuss M. Night Shyamalan. We've talked about him a lot on this podcast. Not in a very good tone. However, this recently his latest film, The Last Airbender, which none of us have seen.
It was awesome.
I was right.
Came out and he was doing press for his film in Mexico, I think. And a journalist asked him point blank, like I always think when I haven't done any interviews at all.
Yes.
I haven't done any form of real journalism. I don't pretend to be a journalist. This journalist asked him point blank, like people love The Sixth Sense.
Your movies suck.
But the rest of your movies, people are all like, this movie sucks. What do you think about how people talk about your career? And the guy's response was,
I think if I thought like you, I'd kill myself. Everything you said is the opposite of science fiction artist. You're like, the way you just thought, I literally would kill myself. How you can characterize my career right now, this is when I want to become a painter. Or when I hear questions like this. You know, your impression of my career is not my impression of my career. It's something you read on Google or something. It's, you know, for me, right after Six Acts, I made a better movie. That's for me. I made Unbreakable, which is my, you know, and for me, my a better movie on all levels. And then my favorite movie that I've ever made is The Village. If my career started with Unbreakable, and then I went on and made whatever it was, $1.5 billion from that point on, and you know, in different. The thing is, you know, you got to think that, like, I'm in France right now. France's favorite movie is The Village, and in Spain, Lady in the Water is huge. In Japan, it's a different movie, and it goes on and on and on. And where was it? It was just in England where they were teaching a class on The Happening. And you know, it's always a tricky thing to think about how people perceive your work. I mean, you know, it's a fascinating thing that you would even characterize my whole career the way you just did, dismissively like that. It's sad for me to even hear you think like that. But I'm not even sure how to respond to a statement that you think I would. I literally turned down more money in my life to do things because I just don't believe in it. I never have taken any money that I don't, you know, for anything that I don't believe in. In fact, I give up most of my salary to get the sequel rights to my movies just so that they never get exploited. So, you know, it's a fascinating thing to hear you characterize the choice of making this movie as a commercial one to get fans back. Pretty crass point of view. But, you know what it is? I think ultimately it's only time that will take that cynicism in your point of view and eradicate it. So I'll just try to make the movies as long as they let me make movies. We'll take it from there, I guess.
What's taking so
long? I'm sorry, that was mean.
I've always thought poorly of his career. Like, his films are bad, but at the same time, seeing what he said right there, it kind of made me feel a sense of respect for him as a person and a filmmaker. Like,
because he was able to be a dick to someone that was asking him a legitimate question.
It could be purposely that he is being an asshole and he's just trying to keep up appearances. But I'm assuming right now that he was being legitimately honest in his response.
No, I assume that too. And legitimately, he's a dick. the guy phrased it better. But he just wanted to cut through all the nonsense. Let's just get down to it, right? People hate movies. All right,
question. Did you read what I wrote?
No.
No, okay. Sorry. I know that.
I'm sorry. No, I usually check this
out.
football.
I really felt like, as much as I hate his movies, I felt a sense of respect for him. Because what more can we ask of a filmmaker than to make a film that he thinks would actually be good? Something he would actually want to make.
A film that other people would think would actually be good.
But how can you judge what other people would like? Then if you do that, you end up making shitty Tom Cruise movies, because that's what people want. People want the generic action film to fill their summer, which is what most Tom Cruise movies are, as much as I love him.
Wow. I don't agree with that at all. I mean, look, when you're making a movie, you have to consider your audience. That's the long and short of it. Someone has to watch this shit that isn't you. Right? So even though you might think it's good and you might understand all the nonsense that you've put in it, there has to be some way for you to step back and say, alright, considering the people that are going to watch this, is my vision of this movie going to clash with what they want to see? And if it is, then you have to change some shit.
Actually, that is why I'm a huge fan of rewrites. You know, you always see these news posts about filmmakers have written up the script and they're going through rewrites. I actually believe, like, whenever people write things, that it's really tough for them themselves to reread it, you know, in a critical manner that will allow them to be like, this is what an audience wants. Well, rewrites, when someone else comes in to reread your script and rewrite it for the audience, they're able to critically read your script in a way that you can't, because you will be looking at it with a bias.
I mean, alright, let's take Shyamalan out of it. Me and Douglas, we like Von Trier. We like a lot of his work.
A lot of his work. What much of Douglas watch?
No. He's speaking for himself. I really liked Antichrist. That's about it. I've been meaning for a long time to watch more of his things because he seems to me to be amazing.
But that youth is crazy. And it is clear that he's not considering anybody else but himself when he does those movies. That is why the reception to those movies are usually how they are. There's a select group of people that will love the movies, right? Because of the madness that he puts in it. But by and large, people hate his movies. No one wants to see half of the shit that he puts in the movies.
However, when you watch the Lars von Trier movie and you come here and you talk to us about it, your response is always, this is an amazing film and this is what I wanted from the film. It's not, this is what the mainstream audience wanted from the film.
That is fair enough. But if he were able to step back and look at what is there and make adjustments based on what a large group of people that would have seen the movie would want to see, I'm sure he could get some of the craziness in there, right? But make it palatable for a lot more people. It's not one or the other. When Nolan decided to do the Batman movies, he had a vision of making it more gritty and more realistic, right? The first Batman movie that we saw wasn't the Batman movie that Nolan had in his head. If it weren't for his brother and some other people, we'd have gotten a completely different Batman. We have gotten some shit that three people in the world would have been able to follow, right? He'd have done Memento plus 7 in a bat suit and no one would have understood anything. And again, how about we stop and try to work some other people into this movie? Right? And so there was other people there and he took on, you know, what they said and incorporated into the Batman movie so that a lot of people could see it. Right? And it's the same with the second movie. And it's the same with Inception. Right? It's not always good for a filmmaker's vision, what he sees, to be put on screen. Right? Because sometimes what they see they're the only ones that can see it. These people are, I mean, everyone that talks about Hollywood is essentially a bubble, and you surround yourself with people that tell you that you're awesome. And that's what happened to M. Night. After he made Sixth Sense, people compared him to Spielberg. People were just showering him with praise. Oh, you're awesome. And it's clear that there is a giant disconnect between him and reality. Because he thinks he's making awesome movies, and that's fine. But we know he's not doing that. Right, so he needs some way to step back, right, and look at nonsense that he's making and say, maybe I should stop making shitty movies. Right? You saw that happening. How long did it take you to realize that happening was a bad movie?
I can't even remember.
You, Douglas.
Not very long.
Zooey Deschanel was in the movie. You guys had blinders walking into that movie. And you guys still... You just thought, and I went, sweet mercy, what is happening?
I think what helped me during that movie was I actually watched that movie in a theater. I paid to watch it, and I had the Jamaican audience with me, where they were like, "Oh my goodness, how is this happening?" Like that helped me during the movie. But yeah, but taking away from taking M. Night out of the equation. How much is it that you want in a film where you actually want the artist's true vision? Like, there are instances where, for example...
The artist's true vision. I can tell you right now, immediately, that Terry Gilliam, is True Vision, I will watch any day.
Yes, we know.
There are
you and three other people.
who we have pretty much, like, we definitely don't know for sure, but we can pretty much assume that it's their vision when we watch their films. Like, Terry Gilliam, there's Lars von Trier. I'm sure fucking David Lynch has...
Oh my goodness. I still haven't watched very many of his films, but I saw Blue Velvet and oh my goodness.
I decided that my next marathon is David Lynch because I need to churn through it.
David Lynch, wow.
I kind of think Tarantino is pretty much his own. Even though I think at the same
Tarantino,
time,
you know what Tarantino is?
He knows his audience. When he does
Tarantino is like, who will I copy it today?
Exactly. Who is?
All
right, I can do this and make it awesome, awesome for these people.
Are there any other people who you think are pretty much their own
Hitchcock
vision?
Towards the end.
Hitchcock
was his vision.
I need to watch more Hitchcock films. I haven't seen enough of
all
him.
His vision. That's why we got 2001.
Kurosawa, I think. Even though I'm really not sure because
When you listen to like people talk about his movies, there was a lot of collaboration going on. Yes, most of it was his vision, but he still considered his audience a lot of the
and
time.
I mean, he did do a lot of adaptations.
Right.
Are there any ones that we can think of off the fly?
Look, I mean, when we started
Michel
talking...
Gondry, totally.
When we started talking, you're like, should they make it mainstream? But you have to understand that making movies, while it is art, it is still a business.
Soderbergh.
Yes, Soderbergh definitely.
Those
Ocean
with
his indie films.
Girlfriend Experience is all his vision. That's all.
I actually believe that at least Ocean's 11 was all his vision. 12 and 13, sure. He was like, okay, this really worked. Let's try and recreate. And he, of course, because he's a good director and a great guy, he not only did that, but he said, okay, let's make it unique. And it worked and it didn't work in some ways in both of those sequels. But the first one, I think, really was him saying, okay, I'm going to try and do what they did before. I'm going to try and make this remake, but I'm going to make it mine.
Coen Brothers,
yes.
Are pretty much really true to whatever they feel a story should be.
Look, I'm not saying... I don't want to come off as... No, the director's vision must come on screen and they should focus test these movies to all hell. All I'm saying is there needs to be some way to for them to step back and have either someone look at it with an eye towards the audience or they do it themselves. Because you have to consider the audience. Someone has to watch this shit. Right? How are you going to get... It's a business. People have to pay for this. Right? And yeah, a lot of times you make a big movie and then you get some money to make a little art house movie. But at the end of the day, someone has to watch a little art house movie. And if your reputation is constantly this guy makes shitty movies, then
so you're
there must be some disconnect.
So you prefer to think of the film industry as an industry rather than an art?
No, it's both.
No, I know it's both.
But at the end of the day,
which
it's a business.
Which end of the scale do you end on?
No, it's a business. They make movies to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the reason... Like, a lot of people thought that making a war movie would have made them lots of money. Which is why we saw a whole lot of them.
Just like today, everyone thinks...
And then they dried
the
up.
The moment you buy a comic book property, you're going to make money.
Exactly. Because they're doing it for business reasons. They say, well, these comics made a lot of money. Let us adapt any comic we can find and see if we can make some of the money, right? Now, it is the director's job to find some way to connect audiences to that property. And if it is a case where the director's vision clearly doesn't line up with anyone that is going to watch the movie, right? Then you're going to have situations like Airbender, where what he saw... I agree that he put what he saw on the film.
Which you haven't seen.
Yes, because I know it's bad. Because I've seen him do shitty movies for, 8 years straight?
I can't even remember. 99 was Sixth Sense.
Right, and Unbreakable was 2000.
I don't remember what
2001,
year it was.
So about 9 years now, he's been doing god-awful movies. Alright? I knew that he couldn't do it. A, because I've never seen him do anything with action. And B, because he can't tell stories. I knew that. He doesn't know how to. He had the one big twist in the first movie and got away with it. His second movie, I love. But that's the comic book person inside of me. Unbreakable.
That's Unbreakable.
Right.
Okay, I'm just trying to remember.
It's a comic book person. But
actually, you know what? I looked
at his
IMDb page and he did something before Sixth Sense.
Really? What
yeah.
did he do?
I can't remember the name of the movie. It's on the IMDb page.
Yeah. I have to say, the movies I rate him for, I love... I mean, everybody loves him for Sixth Sense.
I
love him. I
don't really love him.
Really?
All right.
Well, I love...
I saw the movie again, like, literally, because I knew what the twist was,
uh-huh.
I could watch the movie without...
Well, the funny thing is, I actually knew the twist from before. I knew the twist from before I saw it the first time, and I still loved it.
I actually think what you're saying about Sixth Sense of most thrillers, that once you know the twist, the movie kind of spoils itself.
No. Once I could get over the fact that that was the twist, I could look at the movie for how they built up everything and, you know, the acting and whatever. And it just was underwhelming. I've seen a lot of thrillers with twist endings that I still rewatch and love. So, I don't... I mean, my favorite movies from him is Unbreakable.
Really?
He's only done two that I kind of like. Not a fan of Sixth Sense.
No, man. As far as I'm concerned, Sixth Sense is the best. Village is number two. And number three...
The Village is nonsense.
I like The Village. I think The Village is pretty decent. And the one that I didn't mind was Unbreakable. I didn't mind Unbreakable. So that's like third. Oh, Lady in the Water is horrible.
What right, is The Village with that girl in a pool?
Alright, bringing M. Night back into the equation, does his response to the journalist give you, like, make you feel any form of respect to him as an artist, as opposed to his films? Like, forget about how horrible his films are. Like, his willingness to try and bring his vision to screen, does it give you any form, does it make you want to respect him any much more as an artist?
No.
No, not at all.
No, because he essentially said, you know, If I believe my moves were shitty, then I'd kill myself. He's essentially saying that he's not going to change. He's going to continue making the movie that he sees, but that's clearly not working. Something has to change. There must be some reason people keep saying that you make shitty movies. Right? What's the dude that does... The German dude that does...
Uwe Boll
knows he's making shitty movies.
But he keeps...
But whenever people talk to him, he's determined that no, his movies aren't shitty. And remember he said, if you get 100,000 people to sign this, then I'll stop making movies. Right? That's basically what M. Night just said. You people might think my movies are shitty, but I'm a visionary. And we get that. You make movies. Right? But you make bad movies. It is generally accepted that these are bad movies. Maybe the people around him keep telling him that they're good movies. It's clear that they're wrong. So something needs to change, but he's unwilling to change. He's going to tell the reporter, you know, if I thought my movie sucked, then I'd kill myself. Which is great for him, but terrible for anyone that's going to watch any of his movies. You think if he stays on this path, if he doesn't change anything, anything we get from him will be good again?
No, I'm not saying that his films are going to be good.
I don't want... I mean, A, I don't want shitty movies. I don't want shitty directors, you know, in the same vein. Because I want to enjoy watching these movies. But if there is clearly a director that's directing bad movies, and he's going to continue down that road, then his job is to entertain me, and he's poor at his job. And if it were you and me, if Douglas is poor at his job, what do? They fire him. If I'm poor at my job, they fire me. But somehow in Hollywood, if you're poor at your job, you keep getting chance after chance after chance to prove that you're not shitty.
Actually, in Hollywood, his job is to make back the money he spends, which he does. You know why? Because all of his stories don't require any form of production value. Like, for example, let's take The Happening. They were running away from Breeze, which means all they had to do was pay the actors to run.
Run!
So therefore, the movie costs like $10 million and he makes that money easy.
So he makes back the money for the studio, right? And then they give him...
about the Chris Nolans who spent $300 million.
Then they give him a big project. Then they give him eventually he stopped making these low budget movies and gets a big project to direct, see Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Spends a lot of the company's money, and people, half the people don't show up because his name is on the movie. And then the people that do show up realize that all the people that were shitting on his movies previously were right. And no, do you think Avatar is going to make back its money?
No.
Okay, so then he's failed at his job. He's just thrown away however many million, because they've advertised the sweet Jesus out of this movie, and no one's watching it.
Douglas has been kind of quiet. Any thoughts on this idea? No.
Not really.
Him at all. You don't care.
Aren't you the one with the PhD? I don't know.
It's a master's, and I still don't have it officially. But no, I mean, M. Night, I wrote him off a long time ago. Like I said, he has about 2.5 movies that I enjoy, and that's about it. And if he comes out with something else that I like, maybe I'll watch it. Probably I won't, because I'll assume it's crap. But you know, yeah.
And if he does the guy that did the third Twilight movie, where he wrote some letter to the Twilight fans, he's like, don't worry, he's going to stay true to Twilight.
David Slade.
I think so. And he's like, I really respect this property and whatever. If Shyamalan comes out and says, alright, you know what, there's been some missteps in the past, he leveled it. I've made some missteps in the past, but I've, you know, changed this and that, and you guys can feel safe in the fact that I really respect this, and I'll try to bring something that everyone likes to the screen. I won't believe a word of it, but it would be nice to hear it. But he's never going to do that. His ego is too big. He's a director, right? And whatever he sees, he's going to put on the screen, because he told that journalist to go fuck himself. And so I should have the right to tell him the same.
Oh. Well, I mean, I have this in text on the site already, but I just have to say, like, as much as I hate his movies, and I definitely won't be going to the theater to see any more of his movies as they come out, I actually kind of respect him as a person and an artist based on this response.
Were it Tyler Perry, would you still have respected him? If someone went up, if I interviewed Tyler Perry and I said,
Tyler, don't like your movies.
No, your movies fucking suck, right? And he said, give a fuck. Alright, I'll make what I want to make, and if I stop doing that, I'll shoot myself. Would you respect him?
You see, here lies the thing. First of all, I'll respond to you quickly with a yes.
Okay.
I actually feel that...
He has to say that.
Yeah, because
he's
kind of
painted himself into a corner there.
I kind of feel that I kind of want to believe that when someone creates a film or creates anything generally, mm-hmm. They create it for the reasons that they think that it's actually good. They think that it's actually an interesting thing to create.
Alright, I'm going to stop you right now.
Like,
say I send you a message and say, Andrew, people keep complaining that your posts on the website are garbage. They're terrible. Your website is terrible. Please stop making terrible posts. Alright, it's fucking unbearable. Would you, Andrew, respond to me by going, hey you, go fuck yourself. Alright, I'll write what I want. I don't care what you say and everybody else say. I'll write what I think people want. Right? You'd never say that. You'd have said, alright, clearly people keep saying this website is fucking terrible. Maybe I should do something. That's what a rational person would do. Right? If you're right, if you're doing something to entertain other people, and people aren't being entertained, and they tell you that, a rational human being would step back and say, clearly I'm doing something wrong. And then you'd be posed with two choices. You'd either stop, because clearly no one wants to see this shit, or adapt. What you don't do is go, the fuck is that? I'll do what I want. And you like it.
Alright, to talk to that, I'm actually in between. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much as go fuck yourself, but I'm not, like, I'd stop. Like, first of all, I have to ask you, is it the kind of, is it me that's wrong, or is it the kind of example?
So you're proving my point.
No,
right?
Hold on.
M9 didn't ask him anything else. He just told him to go fuck himself.
and
that was the end of it.
And if their response was, it's me that's wrong, then sure, I'd pack up shop and go home.
But the guy wasn't attacking M9 as a person. He was attacking his shitty movies. And M9 couldn't see past his shitty movies. He just went, up yourself. Right? Although he's essentially saying he doesn't want any criticism. That's basically what he said. He's like, oh, you're criticizing me? I don't care.
Once the studio is happy with me.
What's that criticism? I'm above criticism. I'm better than that. And now we've got Avatar because of it. Because people were telling him that his movie sucked before. Now he's thrown away, what, $250 million plus marketing or some shit. No, that movie doesn't make a dime. I hope worldwide it makes, I don't know, it's not actually possible. I hope it makes negative money. Like someone, like whoever has the Avatar property sues him. And so they end up making negative money.
And I guess with that bombshell, we can end off this week. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
This is a very annoyed day.
This wasn't the Unreal Movie Podcast. You can follow me on GMyReviews at Twitter and GMyReviews.com. You can find my writings. I'm also writing at thefilmstage.com, and you can get the podcast on iTunes as well as the Podcast Alley.
Twitter.
You can follow Damien at Soccer Jersey with a Z.
Well, I keep forgetting which is which.
Z is for the US, Z is for us, you know, British colonial folk.
Isn't
I'm pretentious.
Damien White as well. Isn't there a Damien White one?
Is there actually?
Oh,
that would be funny. You have to go look, Andrew. I'm totally going
Twitter
to follow one.
Wasn't that...
No, Soccer Jersey was a fake Damien White.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, they never...
No, it doesn't think so.
Okay, and if you'd like to follow me, my real Twitter address is DJ R Lost His Name.
When there's a Twitter movie, I'll sign up.
Yeah. I guess you could
so
see me as well at mashbits.com, and, you know, that's about it, I suppose, right, for us?
Yeah. So that's it for the week. Thanks for listening and good night.